All right, everybody, welcome back to Master of the Universe Horror Podcast. My best Dusty Rhodes impression. We're doing the Dead Zone tonight, baby. This is released in 1983, based off the Stephen King novel. OG Money and C Money. This is J Money. What you doing tonight, man?
Yo, Big Pimp.
What the fuck's up? We didn't do news on the last podcast, so I guess I'll let Gabe, you know, what's going on in the horror video game, the whole world, man.
The whole world? Well, I just got a couple of quick tidbits. So I thought it was pretty neat to mention that the Crow, they're doing a reboot of it. So I was like, oh, okay, so they're going to start filming this summer already in Germany. And Prague, too. So I thought that was pretty awesome. People that are fans of Hocus Pocus, they're coming out with a part two, which I honestly thought they were going to come out with it, you know, during Halloween time this year. Well, it's going to Disney Plus, and it's going to be streaming on September 30th. So they already gave it a date. And they do have pictures online of already the original actresses in their original costumes. So, I mean, of course, they're older now, but I mean, it's still pretty neat to, you know, to check out. And then I got another one for you. Lou Ferrigno, if you are familiar with the Incredible Hulk, you know, the original Incredible Hulk, you know. Well, Ferrigno, he's going to be starring in an upcoming horror movie. He's going to be playing a hermit on a pig farm, and he's going to be a cannibal, so he's going to be reprising, well, more of the monster like type more of a monster like, you know, like the Incredible Hulk. So he's going to be in that movie. It's going to be which is weird. He's like oddly like kind of questioning himself. He said he was surprised that he's never really played any kind of bloody or crazy looking monsters, and he's always admired, you know, monsters like, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein. So for him to play something, a big old monster other than, you know, the Hulk, he's gonna go ahead and actually be like a disgusting, horrible monster in this one, cannibal like even. So I think that's something to look forward to. And if you're not familiar with Lou Ferrigno or his Incredible Hulk stuff, it's probably a good time to go ahead and watch some of that stuff and see how he is. He's a lot older now, but it's still interesting to go ahead and watch.
Yeah, I'm a Ferrigno fan because of the bodybuilding stuff. So fucking always and then Mr. What is it called, the Pumping Iron in the movie. So, you know, before I knew he was the Hulk, I always know him as the bodybuilder. So, you know, that's one of those over-ass dudes and Hercules and shit like that, man. But,
and there's a guy who's been in a lot of roles lately because he's also in the first several episodes of the Paramount Plus series, The Offer. So, I mean, if he's getting that too, that he's doing a lot of work. Good for him.
Yeah, and he's on that one movie where they talk about Rush. They go to that Rush concert, remember? And he starts fighting with Lou Ferrigno because whoever the guy was, Paul Rudd, he's like the real estate agent or whatever. And he's trying to sell Lou Ferrigno's house, and you know, and then they end up fighting with fucking the other guy, that jabroni. Fucking hilarious. But anyway, the Dead Zone, dun, dun, dun. The fucking, I think we're all big Stephen King fans. I mean, the motherfucker owns, you know, half the, you know, if there's a top 50 list, you'll see his name on there a few times, which is, you know, pretty over. But the Dead Zone, who picked this one? Was it, Gabe, right? You threw that one out there? What's your story on this one?
Oh, so, well, again, like you said, this is, this goes along with the whole Stephen King universe, the whole Stephen King horror films, horror books, I picked this because this is a movie that doesn't really pop up too much. We hear a lot of them. We hear a lot of movies like about, you know, It, and then we hear a lot about, you know, the Shining, and we hear a lot about all these other films. But I mean, this is like I thought this was a good movie. That it's a good story. It's nothing too bloody or gory or anything. It's just a good film, and it relates on a horror film. I did try to look up and trying to find out how the Dead Zone relates into the Stephen King universe. The most that I actually found is that it only connects as far as going to Cujo. So, I mean, I couldn't really find too much on that, but I'm pretty sure in some way or another this thing is, I probably would have to dig deeper, and this is probably actually connected even deeper into the whole series and the whole universe. But it's a good movie. It's a very good film. It stars Christopher Walken. The entire movie is based off Christopher Walken's character, who ends up getting into a car wreck, and he ends up having some, I'm not sure how to say it, if it's a psychic ability, a mental intuition, or some kind of phenomenon, but he's able to, with a mere touch of anyone or anything, he can give you like the whole history and background of what what's going on, or anything in particular. He'll know like everything on that. So he goes in, he gets into a car wreck. He has his love interest. He gets into a car wreck and gets put into a coma for 5 years, snaps out of it. All of a sudden, here he is and put back into life, and now he's trying to regain his footsteps of where he last left off. He lost his girl, he lost his job, he lost everything. So what's the guy to do? Well, he has no choice. He's going to continue on trucking. But he finds out about these powers, which he happens to make an announcement to the public, because he actually ends up saving someone's life. He accidentally touches his nurse who's taking care of him, tells her, hey, your kid, she's in a fire right now. You still have time to save her life. Her name's Amy. What? That's my daughter's name. Yeah, it's your daughter. Go and save her. Go save her. Go save her. Oh, she runs off. Yeah, sure enough, she had just enough time to go ahead and save her life.
Yeah.
So now that becomes, it's all of a sudden, it's in the newspapers. It's all in. So all of a sudden, now you get to see, like, he's put into a predicament to where he gets to actually use these powers to save everyone's life. So he's like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. Everyone's like, no, there's a serial killer on the loose, you know, that's been attacking people for the last 2 to 3 years. You know, you could really save some lives. He's like, no. I don't think you understand. Every time I use these powers, it hurts. I feel like I'm dying inside. Well, sure enough, as the story progresses, and he does use it to solve the killer's case, and his doctor, who's actually taking care of him, ends up saying, like, there are other people out there like you, and they all met the same fate. What do you mean? Well, you know. Oh, no, I'm going to die? Well, if you use your powers. But I think if we keep you secluded, you shouldn't have to worry about that problem. Well, I feel like I'm already left alone already. Anyways, story progresses even more. He accidentally touches this politician's hand. He realizes this guy is bad.
Yes.
He is flat out, like, he comes off as, like, you know, a perfect, honest, like, wholesome guy who's looking to fight for the people. He wants to not only just become mayor, he wants to become a senator, and he wants to become president.
He's a third-party populist candidate, yeah.
Exactly. So, coming later on by the end, he looks into the future, and he ends up seeing that this guy actually does win, and he does become president. All of a sudden, he's so enraged, we don't know how he got there, but he actually ends up getting, like, the secret codes to, like, saying, hey, let's go ahead and launch these nuclear missiles, and he's trying to get this guy to go ahead and set off the missiles.
And they're trying to get the Joint Chief of Staff to agree to it. So it's a hand scan where both the president and the Joint Chief of Staff.
Yes, exactly. So, of course, you know, he sees the future, and the whole world is, like, going up in a nuclear wasteland. Everyone's dead and dying. Everyone's getting blown up to smithereens. So
he comes back. And the worst part on that is, too, is the fucking vice president and the Senate are all rushed to his doorstep. Mr. President, we've negotiated a peace deal. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, this guy's a dick. This guy is a dick. So, sure enough, this is what happened. So, he, leave it to Christopher Walken, he's like, I'm dying already. You know, I can use my powers for good. I already know what's going to happen. You know, now he comes up with the question. And this is the big question of the whole damn movie. And if you're watching it, you'll end up questioning yourself at some point or another. Probably after the movie, during the movie. But you're going to end up, he comes up with the ultimate question. If Hitler was born and you knew the baby was Hitler and you know exactly what he was going to do, would you kill baby Hitler? Would you kill him? Oh, but some people would say, but he's just a baby. But some people would be like, oh, but he's going to grow up to be a mass murderer and kill hundreds, millions of people, you know. And but that's the ultimate question. The guy hasn't done shit yet, but he's seen the future to where he could kill millions. Is it right to kill him ahead of time?
And two things to interject. That part is where I said to my dad, like, after watching this movie, I was telling him about it because I wanted to know if he had seen it. And I told him, I said, Dad, you remember that movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise? I said, this is the similar concept here. You have a guy, he's not hired by government where he's being used his brain powers to tell the cops what's going to happen and they can stop it. Rather, this is just him on his own as an individual, and he's encountering people and encountering things and revealing information about it. So now, that then, knowing that anyway, I thought that was a... This is kind of how I took this movie, was a lot like the concept behind the Minority Report. Anyway, then the doctor goes into his answer to elaborate, and I love that he quotes from the Hippocratic Oath. He's, you know, first, my role is to do good, is to help people be alive. My first, do no harm, that's part of the Hippocratic Oath. And he answers with, at the same time, I know that I'm doing that by killing this man who will harm these people.
Well, on this part, later on in the, he does end up making a choice in this movie. And the choice he makes is like, well, I got this rifle and I'm going to shoot the guy. He says, I'm going to save millions. So he goes and tries to assassinate him for a public, you know, public meeting, like a public, I'm not sure what's the word for it, like a public sponsoring. Anyways,
That's called a public speech on the campaign.
There you go. Yeah. So he's like getting ready and he shoots, but he misses. So leave it to the future president. He ends up panicking. So what happens? Guess who's nearby that he ends up grabbing and
Nancy
using
Mata.
As a shield? No, not Nancy. I mean, at that point, I think Nancy's like cheering on the guy.
Probably.
No, he grabs a baby. You know, usually you see at these public speeches, like for these people trying to run for mayor, president, stuff like that, you usually see these people out there with kids. Yet there's like, it's an infant, and he's out there and he grabs that infant and he uses the infant as a shield to block against the rifle. So leave it to Christopher Walken's like, oh, I can't shoot if that baby's in the way. Well, leave it to the guy's bodyguard. He ends up man, that guy has such a great, like, freaking marksmanship. He shoots him in the hand, which pulls his hand away from the gun and the trigger, and then he shoots him in the heart. So leave it to Christopher Walken, he falls down and dies. Here comes the guy. Here comes the supposedly future president, and he runs up there and he grabs him by the collar and says, who sent you? Well, he grabs his hand and he sees a glimpse of the future, and he sees him that he doesn't become president. He sees a newspaper ad that says man uses baby as shield. Well, he's taking a shot of liquor, and then all of a sudden he pulls a gun and boom.
Oh, yeah,
that was a dark ass thing, dude.
Yeah,
the whole movie was dark.
Oh yeah, but he saved the future. He saved the future, but nobody else knows other than he himself. He just kind of knows that, you know, he did a good thing.
That's the tragedy that I saw at the end of it. It's like, you know, here's this guy who saved the world, saved the future, saved millions of people, saved all kinds of problems, and he's like the ultimate unsung hero. because no one will ever know that. He's, like you said, Gabe, he's the only one that will ever know that. He's going to go down. History will record him as a psycho that tried to assassinate a politician while in the process made the politician reveal his poor character. That's how history is going to remember this guy, not the guy, the true hero that he is.
Absolutely, Jerry, absolutely. No, that's the great sacrifice about it, though, right, is that you do these things without the fucking, you know, the pat on the backs, winks at Chris, you know, and, yeah, I thought that ending was, like, because you have to, like, everything y'all are saying, you have to, like, say, man, is, you know, should I be doing, you know, should I be doing this? I know what's going to happen, but, you know, my future is dark, and I'm going to die anyway, so should I make this sacrifice knowing that when I'm gone, everyone's going to see me like this, and it's, we're very well thought out and, like, crazy, you know, that's what, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I think what's interesting about this movie is that it's at first it becomes not so much about those psychic abilities, but more on the fact that he was very much in love with his girlfriend at that time. He was planning on marrying her. They had their whole future planned out, and he had a chance to sleep with her that night because she wanted him, she needed him, but he's like, hey, you know, all good things come to for those who wait.
So then he winks at her, dude. Then he, don't forget the wink.
Oh man, he double winked at her. For a minute I thought he was going through a seizure or something. You know, he was all twitching and shit.
I keep telling that kid. Yeah.
Oh man, the old Joe wink, right? So in this case, so he leaves, gets into a car wreck, and you know, he ends up in a coma for 5 years. So pretty much you feel more sad, and you're trying to figure out, like, what the hell happened, you know, with him being asleep for 5 years. I was questioning all kinds of things. I was like, oh, this is what happened to his chick, because they said, you know, they ended up saying that she was there with him for like 3 years until she gave up, until she said, like, you know, he's never going to wake up. So then later on, you end up finding out she remarried and actually had a kid, but she still has feelings for him. So it was like, so you end up finding that out later on in the damn movie. But some things kind of leave you up to question, was like, seriously? I think, like, anybody in this modern time, like, anyone ends up going into a coma, I mean, how long are you willing to leave your loved one into a coma? Because, you know, the hospital bills and everything, they're not cheap, and they're not just going to let you have that shit for free. Unless this shit is Canada, I think. I don't know where this shit takes place, but, yeah, all that shit is very expensive.
No, it takes place in New England, I think New Hampshire specifically.
Oh, no shit. So, yeah, so they're probably just, like, letting him ride that whole bed, you know, just letting him take up space, putting him in the closet, and just like, eh, we'll pull him out in 5 years, you know. He might wake up by then. So, I mean, but other things, like, seriously, if you were in that predicament, would you wait for someone that you don't know when they're going to wake up? You know, your loved one, your...
I know Chris would, because he has no choice. No one's gonna love Chris like Rose. So he's screwed. He's just sitting at that fucking chair, dude.
I know.
He's got, like, plenty of time. He'll be
all right. I'm busy waiting for Rose. So
gotta get those hot wings.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, it's one of those things you kind of have to do things yourself, man. After like a few months, you're just kind of like, you're not living. So, I mean, of course, you know, she did the right thing and had to kind of, you know, still visit and do all those things. But, yeah, you have to, you know, live your own life, because you don't know if this person's ever coming back, you know.
See, like, another thing, too, that kind of made me question, like, why is... I mean, you're right. There was no telling, like, when he'll wake up, because he was asleep for 5 years, and she waited for him for 3. So she could have kept going on, but more like that other movie. It's not a horror movie, but like Cast Away with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch ended up getting lost at damn sea. He was stuck on the island. He came back. His chick ended up, you know, moving on too. So it kind of leaves.
How long is that in Cast Away? I haven't seen it in forever. How long is it from him being lost to when he comes back? Is it like how many years?
Yeah, it's like the same thing. It was like. Like another like 5 or 6 years too. Okay. He was gone for a long time.
I think I say
it
like
wasn't no 1 year.
I think I say like 6 months. I was like, damn, that bitch moves quick.
Well, in that case, I mean, still, like, is it just more of a personal choice to go ahead and say like, hey, I should move on, or are you the kind of person that's dedicated that says, hey, I'm going to sit and wait till they come back? If they don't come back, well, then I guess I'm never going to remarry, but I will still go to the movies and watch a good horror movie, or I'm still going to go and do shit. I mean, it kind of makes you question, like, stupid little things like that. I mean, hopefully, like, no one ever has to be put in that situation, but still, it's like, are you the type of person that's dedicated and waits, or you're just like, hey, man, I got my life, I'm short-lived right now. I gotta
it's
go and do my
own life.
do what I want,
and I don't wanna live forever. Every time.
But Nancy, I'm waiting for no Nancy. So
I'm waiting for no Mata Bomb. Yeah, yeah. This movie, I'm not gonna lie, bro. It's a really good movie, but yeah, it's super grim and depressing. The music throughout the whole film, it's like, you know. Christopher Walken, like, he talks, you know, a good amount, but, like, it seems like the majority, it's just him kind of making faces, and you just hear, like, that song, whatever the theme is, like, whatever, like, in between him thinking, and, like, you just kind of, like, get lost in that haze of thinking of what the fuck's going on and shit, and don't get me wrong, it's an amazing movie. It's one of those, like, for me, I haven't seen all the King stuff, but it's, like, right up there with Christine. I love Christine, too. It's just a dark, you can really put it on at any time just to have on in the background kind of movie. So, you know, for me, I can't believe I've only seen it like twice prior to this, but it's one that you watch and like it sticks with you. It's not one that you have to watch multiple times, you know.
Right. And for some of those people like that, they like horror movies, they just don't like all the blood and guts like Saw has to offer. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dead Zone is more, it's more of a story, rainy weather type of horror movie that you don't have to worry right. about too much of, like, the guts being spilled out and shit. This one's more of the tragedy and the loss. And you see that in this character. He's limping throughout the whole movie. So, now, because, you know, he's been, you know, comatose for, like, 5 years. So, I mean, it's kind of... You already feel already bad for him just because you see him limping, trying to gain back his legs. And then not only that, then again, he finds out he has that psychic power, which he doesn't want to have anything to do with. Then on top of that, he's going to die because of the power. I mean, it's poor guy ended up getting handed a bad hand in this damn movie. And
I don't view it as a... I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, there's nothing more than just tragedy.
It is, that's exactly, thank you, because I don't view this as really a horror movie per se, because I don't see, like, slashing, I don't see a supernatural villain or anything like that. This is more tragic psychosis, if anything.
Right. Now, just to keep in mind, there is a killer in here, and he is murdering people, and they do explain that he's been murdering for the last 3 years while he was asleep. Now, but again, this is just... They show a couple of obstacles in this movie to go ahead and show how he can use his powers and whether if using them is the right way to do it. Because remember, like they said, every time they use their powers, he feels like he's dying. He feels sick. So he thinks the best way to survive or, you know, to live longer is not use them. But there are people that are going to be put in danger, people that are hurt, lost, or whatever. So he ends up having to, like, hey, I'm going to use my powers, but I'm going to do it for good reasons, though. So it's like, again, you're like, he doesn't really explain too much of, like, the headaches or, like, the pain and suffering other than he says it. But you don't really get, you kind of forget about it because you're watching the serial killing or you're watching the, you know, the tragedy with the guy trying to become president. What was his name again? Wilson?
Greg Stilson.
Stilson, there you go. So, and that's the name
Martin
of the character.
Martin Sheen, dude. Fucking.
Yeah, Martin Sheen.
Ramon Estevez.
So, overall, this is a good, chill movie. This goes with the Stephen King universe, The Shining, It, Christine. But as far as, like, the connections, I really couldn't find too much connections of how this relates. Now, there is a TV series, and that probably might explain more into it. But I have not seen the TV series. And as far as the book goes, I mean, I'm sure there is a little more detail. We're just going by just the movie review, though.
Yeah.
A book versus a screenplay is two different things.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Chris. But yeah, like the It stuff, yeah, like they always kind of bitched about that. It's not like the book. They left this out. Yeah, so. And the Harry Potter shit, it's all the same. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, get that to do all the details of a book into a fucking movie of every single goddamn thing. So, anyway. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this movie. I'll fucking... So, Gabe picked it. We'll let Gabe rank it and all, or, you know, all that bullshit. Dude. Gabe, how do you have this bad boy?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to give this... This is a... It's a good story. It's a good movie. Good rainy weather movie. Mm-hmm. I find myself watching this from time to time, not often, but from time to time, and I'll give it a 7.5. It's rewatchable, and it's Christopher Walken in his younger days, so yeah, this is it's entertaining.
CJ.
This is exactly the kind of role Christopher Walken is made to play. He does it excellently, and I don't think he'd been in too many other films before this one. I know his film career, like his first film was like 77, I want to say, but no. As far as this movie, I'm gonna give it a solid 8.5. Like you take the excellent acting for this kind of role of Christopher Walken, you take a Stephen King novel, then you tell the story of him, you know, coming into a coma after a car accident after a day at the fair. He comes out of it, and we discover he's got the psychic powers. And there's these series of unrelated cases that he's helping people, and they're not all connected. They're independent of each other. They're freestanding of each other. But it's just the device of showing you what's going on and what he can do. Ultimately building up where we meet the political advisor. He's got the two sons with the hockey that almost drowned but they didn't go to practice, so they were okay. And building up to Martin Sheen, young Martin Sheen. I can't believe how much he looked like Charlie Sheen back in those days. You build up to this political campaign of this populist guy in this state who's running for Senate. And that's where it all ends. You're like, what is the connection of all these things? Where is this building up to? You're watching that, and you're enjoying it, but you're saying that, what's the connectedness of the story? And there's where it really matters. Greg Stilson for U.S. Senate, and him encountering him and getting a bad sense about him, and then seeing him launch nukes down the road where even the chairman of the Joint Chiefs says, may God save my soul. You know, and then the martyrish act of sacrificing yourself in the process of trying to save others, but doing something you find morally questionable, ethically questionable, but you're trying to see the greater good. It's just excellently done. So I'm going to give it a solid 8.5.
Good shit. Yeah, for me, man, I actually really, really, really like this movie. Gabe, I guess we have the same kind of, like, taste when it comes to, like, when you refer something to rainy day weather kind of movies. Like, this is, like, yeah, exactly like that. For me, definitely, like, a fucking... Man, I don't want to go too high, but yeah, I guess I'll go 8. It's a good, solid-ass film that I love to put on, and, like, it's, like, surprises me. Like I said, when I first saw it, like, a few years ago, I really liked it, and, like, seeing it again was like, man, I can't believe I don't watch this more, because it's a genuinely, from beginning to end, a really good fucking movie, so it's one I'm going to be coming back to a little more often, but, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and we'll see you on the next one.
Man, you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace.
Peace.
Goodbye.